Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, one verse to start with, and that is verse number 1. So Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we do thank you again for just the day that you've given us, and thank you for another opportunity to be gathered together. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight, guiding us according to your will. Father, would you establish our thoughts? Lord, help us not to be distracted in our minds, but Lord, help us, Father, just to hear your voice as you speak to us. Give us clarity of thought. Guide us according to your will. Lord, as always, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want to be drawn closer to you. We want to learn what you have for us, and Father, we want to be able to apply it to our lives, Lord, so that we can, Father, have a relationship with you that's steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. Father, we just want you to have your way with us tonight, and Lord, prepare us even for this next week, maybe through this message, that, Lord, we would be prepared for something that's going to happen this week. But Lord, all along the way, just trusting you, confiding in you, and walking with you each and every day. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about living as a living sacrifice. As Paul writes here to the believers at Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's really what God wants us to do with our life, is to be a living sacrifice. It is allowing God to do what he wants to do in our lives and through our lives. It's us having the attitude, Lord, here am I, have your way with me. Lord, use me however you want to use me. And understand that all of us have been given gifts and talents by God to be used for the furtherance of the gospel, to be used for edifying the saints, encouraging one another, to be used so that we can honor the Lord and bring glory to his name as he uses us. Some things I want us to understand tonight and think about tonight as we think about living as a living sacrifice. Again, being reminded that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, that price being the blood of Jesus Christ. And obviously, he did not just redeem us to set us on a shelf and not show himself mighty in our life. He did not redeem us just to put us aside and not use us. He wants to use us. He wants to use us in the ministry of reconciliation, helping others to come to know Christ as their Savior, helping others to know that they can have forgiveness with God. Someone who maybe has gone astray to understand that, you know what, the grace of God is sufficient. God will receive them back if they'll turn back to him. And those that are hurting, those that are discouraged, being used of God to be able to encourage people in the Lord. And again, we all have the wonderful thing about God's family is that God's family is diverse. God's family is made up of very unique people with unique backgrounds and personalities, likes and dislikes that really make us the family of God. You know, I just can't help to think some of the big choirs that I've seen over the years, and there's one particular I'm thinking about where they have like 200 people in their choir, and it's just diverse, just the different nationalities that are in the choir really represents what heaven is going to be like, just the diversity of nationalities that will be there, and just the amazing love of God and how God wants to use every single person in his work, and there's not a single person who God doesn't want to use. There's not a single person in God's family that's not important, that doesn't have some unique gift that God wants to use, because God has given us the gifts and talents that we have. And we want to be, as the Bible says, living sacrifices. We want to lay down our life before the Lord and say, Lord, How can I be used of you? What can I do to bring glory to your name? What can I do to encourage somebody else in the Lord? What can I do to even, you know, help somebody to see that Christ is the greatest friend that they can have? Tonight, I want us to start with thinking, look at verse number 3, thinking about just the uniqueness of our gifts. In verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Continue on verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness," goes on, "let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." As you think about just each of us having unique gifts given by God, it kind of lists some of those, being an evangelist, being a teacher, or someone who exhorts. You know what? As I even heard about recently, where somebody sent somebody a birthday card on their birthday just to let them know that they were being thought of. Sometimes people will try to compare themselves to someone else and think, well, you know, I'm not as good as that person because they do this or they do that. But all of us have something that we can do in the family of God. Again, if you think about what he says in verse 4, "For as we having many members in one body," we are all members of the body of Christ. And we all need to have that mindset and continue to have that mindset that, you know what, God has me here for a purpose. What can I do while I'm here? Somebody once told me that you need to bloom where you're planted, because discontentment causes us to think that the grass is greener on the other side. But I'm sure that, I know I learned the hard way that, you know what, the grass is not greener on the other side. Why is it sometimes you see cows stretching their necks through a fence to eat the grass out of the ditch when they've got alfalfa, they've got something that's good for them to eat, and they're always stretching their neck out, eating out of the ditch. They think, you know, that's better. But it's not. God has given you a place to serve, a place to love, a place to be used by him, because you have certain gifts that God's gifted you with that God wants you to use in the service of the king. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Think, I mean, God has given us a brand new year for us to serve him while we serve others. And God wants to use us in great ways. And like I've said before, you know, not everybody is called to be a pastor. Not everybody is able to be a Sunday school teacher. There may come a time when you're asked to, if you can teach a class or to fill in. But you know, sometimes we feel like, you know what, well, I can't, you know, I don't really have the ability to do that. But be willing to be used by God. God will open up doors for you to be able to serve people, because, again, he's given you something very special. He's given you a gift that maybe you don't think much about it, but God does, because God gave that to you. Now, I can say personally, you know, God did not give me the gift of singing. Therefore, you'll never see me up here singing a solo. And we've had to kind of struggle through some times when Dylan hasn't been here, and I've tried to lead us in singing, and it's been very difficult to do that. And I keep telling him, Dylan, you cannot miss any services, because we have nobody to be able to lead us in singing. I cannot do that. There are things that God has for us. There are talents and gifts that you have that God wants to use, all right? And we have to be willing. We have to be able, Lord, here am I. What can I do? What can I do to help your people? What can I do to help somebody know that they're loved? And again, it may just be simply, I mean, if you're an older person and you're limited, you know, I'm thinking about somebody in my mind who's older and kind of limited, and yet, you know what? Just picking up the phone and calling somebody and encouraging them, or sending a birthday card. I mean, I've told you time and time again about the Sunshine Gal years ago, Miss Winnie, and just how she had several strokes. I mean, she was hunched over, barely had one eye open, and she was a very scary person. When you first met her, I mean, she was very, I remember the first time I invited someone to church, and she didn't like the way their kid was acting, and she went and told them how they needed to be acting. I was thinking, wow, that's kind of bold. But when you got to know her, she was a very sweet person. A very sweet person, and she always kept up with people's birthdays. And it always put a smile on people's face when it was their birthday, and they would always see Miss Winnie after the service just coming up to them, just walking with her little walker, one eye open, just kind of coming to them, and they just already were smiling because they knew what she had. She always had a birthday card. And it just always meant something. That was her ministry, right? She couldn't do much. She couldn't work in the nursery. She couldn't teach a class. But she could do the one thing, and that was be an encouragement to people. All right, well, so what I'm saying is don't ever say that you can't do anything, that you don't have a gift. There's nothing that God has for you. God has something for all of us. Sometimes we don't even realize the gift that God has for us. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, thinking about the uniqueness of our gifts. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Again, who maketh thee to differ from another? We all have gifts and talents that we can use for God's glory and for the goodness of one another. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, gives to each of us the gifts that we are to be using for the Lord. All right, again, when I say gifts and talents, you have talents. There's things. You may, you know what? I'm not a mechanic, so don't ask me to work on your car. The best I can do is change your oil. All right, and pray that I remember to put the oil in after I empty it out. All right, but you wouldn't ask me to work on your car. But you know what? If you needed furniture moved, I could do that. You know, there's just things I can do. But there's certain talents that you have that you can use to minister to people, to minister to your church, to serve the Lord. Again, sometimes people ask, well, how can I serve God? God doesn't need anything, but he does. He needs us to be willing to serve one another, to help where we can, to be used of the Lord, always thinking, you know what? What can I do to help further the kingdom of God? What can I do to help people even see the love of God? Because you know what? People do want to know that people care. And it is. It is a wonderful thing to get a birthday card in the mail unexpectedly from someone. And it just kind of puts a smile on your face. It's, wow, you know, someone's actually thinking about me. You know, or you know, baking cookies. Maybe you're a baker. Maybe you know how to bake cookies. And, you know, and just you want to just, again, what can I do? I can bake cookies. So you know what? I'll bake cookies for someone when it's their birthday. I know that, you know, Miss Pam, sometimes, you know, for the kids' birthdays, when someone has a birthday, she'll bring a treat. And I'm always hoping that my kids will share with me. And you know what? It's hard to get them to share when Miss Pam bakes them a treat. But, you know, I do my best. But again, it may just be something like that. What am I saying? I'm saying don't think that you don't have anything that God wants to use you for. God wants to use you for something. There is someone that can be helped by your gift and by your talent. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians 4. You know why we're told to be living sacrifices? And why God even calls it a sacrifice? Because it is. We have to sacrifice time. We have to sacrifice time out of our busy schedules. We have to sacrifice even the ability to do what needs to be done. But some of the greatest joys that we will ever experience will be taking time out to do something for somebody else, not looking for anything in return. Because the greatest return we can get by helping somebody else out is just the great feeling on the inside that, you know what, God used me to be able to help in this matter. I mean, just even thinking about it, I mean, just when devastation strikes and people lose their homes because of a tornado, earthquake, or something, and God moves upon your heart to go and help in whatever capacity that you can. Now, when you see devastation like that, just miles of nothing, because it's all been destroyed, you feel real small looking at the devastation. You wonder, what in the world can I do in this great devastation? But just the little that we do to help somebody makes a big impact. It lets people know that, you know what, there are people that truly do care. There are people that truly do care what has happened. Everybody likes to be helped. In Ephesians 4, look at verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if you think about the body of Christ, he's given all of us some type of gift to be used for the edifying of the church. When I say church, the body of Christ. The church is the called out assembly of believers. And God wants to use each and every one of us. Someone who feels like they're useless, feels like, you know, there's nothing they can do, they're not even trying. They're not even allowing themselves to be used by God. Again, when you accomplish something, when you do something, it helps you to feel valued. It helps you to feel like, wow, you know what? I actually was able to help in some way. It makes you feel, in a sense, it helps you to feel a sense of belonging, being part of the body. Now, it's kind of silly, but I mean, just think if your feet decided they didn't want to take you anywhere. They work, nothing's wrong with them, but they decide, you know what? We're going in a different direction, and you're wanting to go another direction. You know, it's a wonderful thing that, you know what, I don't have to think about my hands or my arms doing any of this. Right arm, left arm. I might have to think about that. But what if all of a sudden my hands decide, you know what? We don't want to be hands, we want to be feet. And vice versa. I'd rather not really have to eat with my feet. I've seen people that had to because they didn't have arms. All right. But what I'm saying is your body has its functions. Your hands have a purpose. Your feet have a purpose. And as Scripture uses that we're all members of the same body, the body of Christ, we have things that God wants us to do. He wants to use us because, again, it helps us to feel a part of the body. It helps us to feel like, you know, we can do something. We feel valued. We feel like we're just part of the body of Christ. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, because with the uniqueness, using our gifts for the Lord, among people, using it to serve people. And more so, I mean, you can use your gifts to serve people, but as I think about just specifically the body of Christ, it helps us to have unity. Again, I've met people and I've seen people leave churches because they didn't feel like they belonged. They felt like they weren't accepted. Had nothing to do with people in the church. They just didn't get involved. They just didn't allow themselves to be a part of the church. They kind of stayed isolated. They kind of, you know, distanced themselves from people and then blamed their leaving on the fact they didn't feel accepted. They didn't feel loved. But you know what? Again, when you're a part, when you allow yourselves to be a part of God's work and be a part of God's doing and be a part of people's lives, it helps you to feel like you are part of something that's good. You're using your gifts and talents to bring unity to the body of Christ. In Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. No one's better than anybody else. But we all should have a common bond, being Jesus Christ, and we should all have a common goal, and that is the unity of the body of Christ, edifying the body of Christ and edifying one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, our gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, and with the perfecting of the saints comes unity. Again, we have an adversary that's always looking to divide and conquer. He's always looking to divide and conquer. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus said. But as we have the mind of Christ and we look at one another and we look at others as, you know what? A ministry that I can serve people, I can help people. What can I do? I may not be able to teach a class. I may not be able to do certain things, but there are things I can do. And asking God, Lord, how can I use my talents, my gifts that you've given me to be a help and a blessing? Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You think about in the early church, when 3,000 souls were added on the day of Pentecost, and then another 5,000 a few days later, and just how the church was growing, and everybody was being used in some capacity. Because it came to a point where they were starting to complain that the Grecian widows were not being ministered to. They go to the apostles and say, hey, you know what? Our widows are being neglected in the daily ministration. And the apostles said, well, you know what? It's not meet for us to leave studying God's word and praying, because you got to think, I mean, 8,000 people already added to 120. Those men needed to be in prayer and they needed to be in Bible study to know how to minister to the people through the word of God. But they said, you know what? Choose you out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, that can help in this ministry of serving people. You know what? There are times where myself as a pastor need other people to be able to do things so I don't get spread very thin, so I can continue studying and praying and visiting people. And there's things that we'll talk about on January the 30th in the business meeting that I think will be a help to the church and a help to myself. But there's been times where, you know what, I've been so busy that I have forgotten that I scheduled a meeting with somebody and totally missed it. That's never a good thing. I felt bad about it. The person was very gracious about it and said, don't worry about it. I know you're busy and all of this. And it was like, I still felt bad about it because I scheduled a meeting. So I'm saying that there's always things that we can do to help one another, to help the ministry run smoother, to be an influence in the lives of people. And it's all about unity, knowing that, you know what? God has me here for a season. That season may be until the rapture. That season may be, unfortunately, like we had, you know, some folks move away. You know, they were here for several years. They were here for almost four years, I think, since I was here. And then they moved away. So, but while they were here, they were a big help. All right, so I'm saying we all can be a help in the Lord's ministry, but we have to be willing to use our gifts for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, in labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. That first part, in labor, working with our own hands, being willing to do what God wants us to do, because we want to be that living sacrifice that says, Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice time. I'm willing to sacrifice resources. Whatever is needed, Lord, I want to be used by you. Another way that we can be a living sacrifice is in the way that we respond to adversities. Look, if you've left there, go back to Romans Romans 12 and look at verses 14 through 21. Now I'm going to get attacked by a fly. The fly's not happy with anything I'm saying. All right, so Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21. How do we respond as living sacrifices to adversities? I mean, thinking about just using the uniqueness of our gifts for the unity of the saints, for the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of helping people. But you look at verse 14 through 21, all right? Again, we're all faced with adversities. We're faced with oppositions. We're faced with resentments from people. We're faced with just even the devil, but sometimes people just resisting what we're trying to do, resisting what we're trying to do. In verse 14, the Bible says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Sometimes we do like to quote that, vengeance is mine, but we kind of leave out the rest of that. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." How do we overcome evil? How do we overcome adversities? By doing good. By doing the opposite of what the flesh wants to do. Because when there is opposition, when there is persecution, when there's some type of resistance, when there's some type of, as it even says, persecution, those that are cursing, those that are against you, the natural tendency is to want to fight back, to push back, to defend ourselves in some manner. But God says that we ought to have a respectful response to these oppositions, to these persecutions, to these even setbacks. In Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger." You know what? Sometimes you may find yourself where there's an argument, maybe with a spouse that is starting, or with a church member, which should never be, or with somebody else. And we always, again, the flesh always wants to defend itself, but as we follow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves responding with a soft answer, not with anger, not with resentment, but trying to live peaceably, trying to work things out and letting God deal with the situation and maybe deal with the person's heart. But again, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 31:26, speaking of the Proverbs 31 woman, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Again, as we think about being a part of the body of Christ, being saints, being the children of God, being the children of light, as God is light, we ought to respond to these situations with the kindness of Christ. Again, when you look at verse 14, bless them which persecute you. That's not a natural thing to do. When somebody, there's probably not a single person in here that has not faced some opposition, some persecution. You think about kids that may have a squabble, an argument, fuss and fight over something. Think about kids, little kids in a nursery, not even a nursery, just in a home, and a child comes and just snatches a toy out of a child's hand. What is that child going to do that just had the toy snatched out of their hand? It depends on the child. Because I've seen where children will retaliate by pulling the other one's hair to get their toy back. I've seen where the child goes and just rips the toy right back and, you know, that's mine. I mean, you've seen it, right? But I've also seen, and it has surprised me, it's far and few in between, because again, kids have a sin nature. The kids have to learn how to do the right thing, but I have seen where a child has had something taken from them from another child, and that child turned around, grabbed another toy, sat down, started playing with another toy. I was like, wow, that's the right response. It's kind of unusual to see that, but you know, when that happens, it's commendable. But you know what? I've learned that over the years, nothing changes. As a child having those type of oppositions, teenagers having oppositions, young adults having oppositions, middle age having oppositions, and I'm sure as I continue to climb the ladder of age, I will see that, you know what, opposition does not stop. But what should change over time is my response to it. My response being Christ-like. My response even being, you know what, maybe they didn't mean what I heard. Again, like I said, the devil is always looking to divide and conquer. He wants to divide and conquer in marriage. He wants to divide and conquer in family members. And he wants to divide and conquer in God's house, in God's family. Now, the only way that he can really divide and conquer is somebody has to get offended to where they stop talking, they push people away, and they allow themselves to be ill affected by what they perceived someone said or did to them. Now, sometimes it is real, and someone does say something hurtful, and they do something hurtful. But many times we get offended at what we think someone said. What we think they meant by what they said, or what we think they meant by what they did or did not do. But God wants us to respond in a way that helps us to stay close to Him, and that is with a soft answer. That is responding in a Christ-like manner, resisting any retaliation that maybe our flesh deems to be right. In Leviticus 19, verse 18, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. I am the Lord." That's one of God's commands. The second great commandment is we love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Proverbs 20:22 says, Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Proverbs 24:29, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Sometimes people have that mindset, you know what? Well, he or she, they deserve what they've did to me. They deserve to have that heaped back on them. But God says vengeance is his. He will repay. Because God does not want you or me to be robbed of our blessings that God wants to bestow upon you. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Again, being this living sacrifice, as we're told in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, when you just think about that one verse, you think about, you know what? I don't belong to myself. I belong to the Lord. And I have to relinquish my rights to the Lord and say, Lord, I belong to you. How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me to respond to people? How, Lord, can I serve you? How can I promote Christ in my life to others? How can I promote the love of Christ among God's people? Lord, what can I do? And the Lord will always show us something to do. Again, it's not easy to love your enemy. It's not easy, as the Bible says, to bless them which persecute you. It's not easy to, when it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes it's not easy to do that, but through Christ we can. Again, that's where, Lord, I don't feel like I deserved what they did or what they said. I don't feel like I deserve what's going on, but Lord, I'm completely in your hands, and I know, Father, that you have a hedge of protection around me, and whatever you allow, it must be for a reason. Help me to respond in a Christ-like manner. Help me, Lord, to be Christ-like in how I react and respond to what's going on, because I want Christ to be lifted up. You know what? One of the greatest things is when you do have an enemy that is against you, and we all have to learn this. I had to learn this a long time ago, and believe me, I'm still learning it. The Lord's still teaching me, but you know, to pray for those wholeheartedly and with true love, not dissimulation, not a false love, but to truly pray for those that are against you for whatever reason, that God would bless them. That's kind of a hard thing to do when you allow yourself to think about what they did or what they said. But again, we got to remind ourselves, we don't want to give room to the devil. We don't want to give place to the devil. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to have his glory, and he is glorified when we allow ourselves to be that living sacrifice that says, Lord, it doesn't matter what they've said or done. How can I be a blessing? There's many things in the Bible we can think about when we think about this situation. I think about David as David is fleeing for his life because one of his sons has risen up against him, wants to kill his father, has turned the hearts of the men of Israel against the king, King David, and David flees the palace, and as he's fleeing, Simei, a relative of King Saul, is on the hillside, walking alongside, cursing David, throwing stones at David, telling David, you're getting what you deserve. And David's own men are like, give us the word and we'll go lob his head off. I mean, they wanted to defend the king. They wanted, because that was what they were supposed to do, defend the king. And David says, no, let it be. Let him be. It may be the Lord will bless me because of this adversary, because of what's happening. You know what the Lord did bless? Now, David is just the man. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm sure it was only by God's grace he was able to say that and not just, you know, maybe turn and just kind of wink at his men and them go and do it, and he'd be like, well, you know, they did it. I didn't tell them to do it. What I'm saying is God has begun a good work in us, helping us not to respond in the flesh, but to respond in the Spirit. Because the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is to defend itself, to justify itself, to do what it wants to do. But God wants us to be the living sacrifice that is holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, God, again, like I've always say, God has a purpose for all of us. God has something for all of us to do, all right? My purpose in life is different than yours, but there is one thing that we all have in common that God wants us to do, and that is to walk in the Spirit. That is to follow Christ. That is to have the mind of Christ, to have the attitude of Christ, to have the love of Christ, and to see people through the eyes of Christ. Jesus is our greatest example. And we can never say, well, he's God, of course he's perfect, and he did everything right. We have the Spirit of Christ in us to help us to do things the right way. Jesus spent time at night praying and fasting, and in the morning he chose 12 disciples. one being the son of perdition. Jesus, knowing all men, he knew Judas Iscariot would betray him. Now for us, I mean, if we knew who's going to do us wrong, we would avoid them and we would not have any contact with them. We would not even try to strike up a relationship or a friendship with them. But Jesus knew who would deny him, who would doubt him, and who would betray him. But he still chose those 12 men so that he could influence their lives. And he could show those men that they were worth the king's time. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was worth his time, Jesus' time, to spend with them, to show them the love of God, to use them in the ministry, let them know that, hey, you know what? You're valuable to me. That's a wonderful thing to know that you're valued. Again, there's people in life that make you feel devalued, but Jesus never makes you feel devalued. He makes you feel valued. He makes you feel loved. And it should be what really draws us to want to do anything for the Lord, to be that living sacrifice. Lord, have your way with me. Lord, let your grace abound in my life. Let your power reside upon me so that I can accomplish whatever it is you want me to do. There are great things God wants to do with you in 2022. There are great blessings that God wants to bestow upon you in this year. But while we're trusting the Lord and following the Lord and looking for the blessings, we do have to say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? How can I be of service to people? Because Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving of yourselves, it really does. It really does help you to feel valued. It helps you to feel like, you know what? There's something that you can do. It helps you to feel like you are a part of something. Something far greater, and that being the kingdom of God. I want you to think about just being that living sacrifice. Sometimes it is easy. Easier to serve somebody that you know that will receive it. And maybe even recompense you for it at some point. You know, it's great when you do something for somebody, and then you know what? A while later, they do something back for you. Because it makes you think, you know what? Well, they appreciated what I did, and they're trying to show their gratitude. But what about finding somebody that cannot repay you back? Jesus served a lot of people that did not pay him back. In fact, in his ministry, there probably wasn't one person that paid him back for anything that he did. But he did it out of his love and out of his grace. Being that living sacrifice truly is giving God all the glory, giving God the worship and praise he needs, because we are allowing him to use our life to influence others, to help others without anything in return. And if it's someone who doesn't even care that you did it, that's okay. Because I really didn't do it for you. I did it for the Lord.